We are up to, let's start with Halacha Dalet. Simon Pei Dalet. Simon Pei Dalet, Halacha Dalet, it's on page Kuf Nun Ches. Kuf Nun Ches. Okay, if we have time, we'll do a little bit of Halacha. I went through, yes, I spent some time going over Rabbi Riviat Sefer, Hilcha Shabbos, where he has a chapter devoted to wearables, things that a person is allowed to wear, now wear in modern times, modern shilas, and all the different opinions. Some things are very shocking, that are mutter, and there are some things that you'll be shocked to find that are aser. So let's just see, let's try to go through some basic halacha, and then if we have time, I have over here a whole collection of different things I extracted from his Sefer. Aaron, you can imagine. By the way, I also discovered yesterday in Pesach that he also has a little section devoted to the karfif issue. And he also, everything that we said is there. He pretty much we've covered all of the ideas. He talks about cemeteries, he talks about parks, he talks about swampland, rivers. And he basically says that it's something that you have to be very careful when you make enough. He writes there a story where there was an Erev and it was only discovered many years later that there was a karfif. There was something that was considered, according to all opinions, some type of marshland, swampland, and that was a karfif that would really is very problematic. And the Rabbanim were not aware of this. We're not aware of this for many years. And there's a question of, was the Erev even good to begin with years ago? So it's something which he writes is overlooked. It's very easy to forget about this the issue of the karfeif, to make sure there are no areas inside of a community Erev that are not bigger than 70 amas by 70 amas, 5,000 square feet, that is not livable. It's not meant for the purpose of human beings, which would be a cemetery or the area that you can't step on because it would cause damage to the earth.
Discussing with somebody,
okay. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is only true according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, no one else. An area that's Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, which means approximately eight miles by 8 miles, an open area that's contiguous in that area, which has over 600,000 males living, does not mean they have to be actually walking in the street at any given moment of time. There are 600,000 males from the age of 20 and above living in that area, which according to his calculation comes out to somewhere near, not necessarily exactly near, 3 million people. Does not have to be Jews, it means human beings. Automatically becomes equivalent to the Diglei Midbar. It becomes equivalent to the encampment, the Machane Yisrael, the way the Jewish people encamped in the desert. In the desert, there were 600,000 males from the age of 20 and above in an area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. And according to Chazal, when they walk, when they travel, it says the Ferish in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that was a Rishos Sarabim. The main thoroughfare where you would travel in the Machane Yisrael was considered to be a Rishos Sarabim. That's where you learn out one of the Melachos. So therefore, if you have a street in an area that fits these conditions, this criteria, it automatically becomes the entire area, according to Rav Moshe, any street that is more than 16 amos wide, which is approximately, let's say 25 feet, whatever it is, or a little bit less, 25 feet wide, automatically has the status of a Rishus Harabim De'eraisa. It does not have to be a street that is a thoroughfare that goes from one end of the city to the other end of the city. It does not have to be a street that's a busy street. Any street that is 16 amos wide in this area has the din of Rishus Harabim De'eraisa. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe only, Brooklyn meets that criteria. Brooklyn is an open area in Brooklyn that is equivalent to Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. There are close to 3 million people. Every single street that is 16 amos wide, gutter, the street where cars go, is automatically a Rishus Haram Deraisa. Therefore what? Can you make an Erev in a Rishus Haram Deraisa? Yes, you can make an Erev in a Rishus Haram Deraisa, but not with a Tzuras HaPesach. This is the Ferish of Shulchan Aruch. A Tzuras HaPesach, we're all familiar with, you take two poles, one here, and you put a string on top. And there are even other ways. You can make a Tzuras HaPesach, you can do something with a Lechi or a Korah. There are certain situations where if you have the conditions of a Mavo, you can even close off an area with just a little one pole, without even a pole on top, or two poles and a string on top. But if you have a Rishus Ram Daraisa, you need to have walls. And if you don't have walls, you at least need to have doors, things which are suitable, at least theoretically, to close. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe, and this is what it's Talmidim, it's not, I don't know if it's Beferish. He writes that in this new Sefer. I should bring in the Sefer and show it to you and read you what it says. He quotes, it says this already, he asked that it's known from his Talmidim. That's all he writes it from. From his Talmidim, he spoke to many of his Talmidim. I told you personally that my father told me this, that he spoke to Rabbi Bluth. Rabbi Bluth was a very big Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Bluth told my father this explicitly, and he writes this in the book also, that all the Talmidim say this in the name of Rav Moshe, that even a dead N Street in Brooklyn, being that it's more than 16 amos and is within this area, is considered to be a Rishus Harabim De'oraisa. Therefore, you cannot put up a Tzuras HaPesach, a pole here, a pole here, and a string on top to close off a dead end street. The only way you can close off a dead end street is by putting up doors, which is not theoretically impossible. They sell, the people who make the commercial Eruvim, they have access to doors. What a door is basically is some type of accordion material, or even a shmat that's wrapped. You buy a material and a pole, and you can just
mesh,
or even just you pull it out. So that would be the only way you can make an Erev on a dead end street. But to put up
16 amos is the gutter, including
no, not including the street. I think he says only the gutter, only the actual gutter. Only the asa. How big is the average one-way street?
The reason for 16 amos is that two wagons should be
able to fit
each other.
To fit. So how big is the average one-way street? How big is the average one-way street in Brooklyn? Go on Avenue I and East 18th Street. Okay, 19 different ways. But let's talk about even the smallest streets. It's less than 25 feet? Then it could be that you can do it.
Or maybe one way.
On one way.
Yeah, that's because you have cars parked on both sides.
I don't know then. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's why they're doing it. I take it back then. Maybe that's why. If it's going to be less than 16 amos. What counts? He seems to be right in the book. From my impression, I don't know. I'm extremely ignorant in these matters. But the impression I got from the book is that the sidewalk does not count. That is the impression I got in the book.
So the
sidewalk does not count.
About
16
feet.
16
amos.
16 amos.
16 feet. Or 2 feet.
32 feet. 32 feet, that's a chumra. That's a chazanish share. You want to say 32 feet, that's a chumra.
Makes it easier, though. Then.
It makes it easier, definitely, because then you'll definitely. The impression, it could be that I'm wrong, but the impression that I got was that the sidewalk does not count. The sidewalk is a place where the rabbim do not go. The rabbim means that everyone has full access. The sidewalk, the cars don't go on the sidewalk. Yeah, it's like the tzidei. The sidewalk would be considered to be the tzidei rishus rabbim. Okay, I know you'd be laughing, unfortunately, but maybe you're right. Maybe if the streets don't meet that criteria, maybe that's why. So how come people are doing this today? Obviously, because not everyone. There's a lot of gray area in the laws of Eruvim. There are many rabbanim that hold it. You can't make an Erev in Brooklyn. They don't follow the chidushim of Rav Moshe. So obviously there are people that are somewhere in between.
They have one, so they look for
heterim. Like we discussed this yesterday.
So the main person they quote is always the Chazonish from Paris.
Chazonish, according to what his writings.
He said there was 2.9 million people in the, whatever it is in 1929 when he made the Erev, and he said in Paris that he
doesn't hold a Chesher Moshe. According to many poskim, they don't hold to this idea that it's a Rishus Ram Derais. Why not? They don't hold. Just in order for it to be Rishus Ram Derais, so many poskim hold, you have to have a street. You have to have a street that's mufulish, that goes from one end to the other, that is at least occasionally frequented by 600,000 people. Ocean Parkway, first of all, it's questionable if it's in halacha considered to go from one end to the other, and also even it's not so crowded. It's not all that crowded that we should consider it to be has access. 600,000 people actually use it, and is a car called a rish, is it called a purse? Is it called the Rishuyos are flying through the streets.
Rosenberg said only the windows are closed on the car.
So there are many avenues. There are many mahalchim in order to suggest that you can. Now all of these suggestions are all of these ideas of the Chazon Ish and many other poskim all create a situation where Brooklyn would not be a reshus harabim de'oraisa. Therefore, now once it's not a reshus harabim de'oraisa, we now enter phase two. We now can enclose it through a Tzuras HaPesach. But that gets very complicated. Now, who's going to go put up a Tzuras HaPesach around the entire Brooklyn? It would cost $1 billion to put up a really good, a high quality Tzuras HaPesach that would be acceptable according to all poskim around Brooklyn. No one's willing to shell out that kind of money. So, and also the red tape that you'd have to go with government would be impossible. It would take years of lobbying to get permission to put up what we would consider to be an ideal Tzuras HaPesach around Brooklyn. So what do? We make use of natural pre-existing walls and telephone wire and cables, and we adjust it in order to make them into an acceptable Tzuras HaPesach. Problem is, it's not so easy. It's not so easy, and even that has to be come on to multiple layers of leniencies, and there has to be continuous inspections.
They use toll plazas as things, so if they would put toll plazas on the three bridges that go into Manhattan, that would lock off Brooklyn and make it a tourist hub.
It would make it better.
Right.
Post 9/11 makes things a lot easier. Everyone is gated in.
They want to make flood gates by the tunnels to prevent.
Yeah. They want to put bubbles. They want to put seals. Yeah, those are the losses.
Still, the Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Williamsburg bridges.
Yeah.
They put a toll plaza there that would make it immovable.
There was a fellow by the name of Slater who wrecked it.
Yes, it's available online. It's online. You can get it for free. I have a hard copy. And you go. I have a hard copy at home.
Supposedly, Scully explains the Flatbush.
There was a lot of criticism on what was written in that pamphlet. Kundras. Okay. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of politics, and there's a lot of people get very excited about this. But that journal, that thing, Kundras, is available online. If you type in Google Brooklyn Flatbush Sheriff, it's from the top 10, the PDF file. You can download the entire thing from beginning to end. Okay, and so we discuss this. Yeah.
In the desert, the Jews, when they came to Shabbos, did they have an Erev?
No, that's exactly the point. There was no Erev.
So how did they bring their mon from outside in?
No, that was Friday. Exactly the point. That's exactly. That's why we have Lechem Mishnah. Right? Why do we have Lechem Mishnah? There are three reasons. Reason number one, buy one, get one free. What was the other reason? There was a joke going around. There's another reason. This is a part of the Shabbos Project. Didn't see the video, the Shabbos Project video? It's hilarious. There's a Shabbos Project video about you invite an unaffiliated. If someone's earlier, so they know things that we don't even know why we do things. So they, when you invite an adult, a mature adult, he comes to your Shabbos and he sees you have two loaves of bread. Why in the world do you have two loaves of bread? So not everyone is so swift to remember. It's Lechem Mishnah. So people get a little bit flustered. So they have like a little skit. Someone asking, your non-religious neighbor comes and sits down at your Shabbos and tells, why do you have two loaves of bread? So they had different people. One guy says, buy one, get one free. The other one said, oh, Bowie Chala, Bowie Chala. Bowie Chala, Bowie Chala. And the host of this quiz show, he says, yeah. He thought, all right, this was, where have you been? You haven't been following us?
I kept on saying, I don't know.
It's a list of things, right?
What?
It's a lot of videos.
This video? Go to Shabbos Project. Shabbos, just type in Shabbos Project. They have a website, a dedicated website for the Shabbos Project. They have all of their videos. Solomon was very involved. He latched on Project Inspire. Yes. Latched on. This is not Shabbos Project. Shabbos Project is not Lindu, Brooklyn. This was created by the rabbi in South Africa. It was the Goldstein. I didn't read any of the articles, but they wrote him up in all the magazines, interviews. They wrote him up and became world famous. He did this in South Africa. Last year was extremely popular.
And he Buchwald started it.
Buchwald Shabbos across America.
Right.
Buchwald already 15 years ago. Does he still do it? He made even television commercials. I was once at a seminar when he was so excited. He came in with a television and a video to show us the commercial, the television commercial. He says, "You're not going to see it in New York because in New York, it's not." And he told us, "Watch." The little like Lakewood guys in the room. He says, "Watch out. You know, this is not in outside of New York. We don't promote Shabbos the way we promote Shabbos where we're used to in Brooklyn." And it was a hip video. It was the Lebedica video with, you know, catering to people that are not religious. And they used to have advertisements on the radio. They had commercials for the little nigga, little jingle, Shabbos across America. They did that. Lately, I haven't heard. But this rabbi in South Africa created this project. It was extremely successful. He suggested that it should be observed worldwide. So who's going to listen to him? So luckily, this rabbi, Yaakov Solomon, he latched on. He leads an organization called Project Inspire. He picked up upon it, and he promoted it, and it was phenomenally successful. This past Shabbos, Parashas Noach, they say they were in contact with, I don't remember exact, 2,000 unaffiliated Jews here in Brooklyn that somehow were inspired or connected, and they're already planning for next year. Look, I know in Boston, I asked someone who lives in Boston, are they doing anything for the Shabbos project? So what, Sean? What are you talking about? Because in Boston, there's no Yaakov Solomon to latch on to this project. You need, if not for Yaakov Solomon, you probably wouldn't hear one word about it. It would be in the newspapers. In South Africa, there was a Shabbos project, but not in Brooklyn. Okay, whatever it is, it is. Let's go further. Let's go back to the wearables. Halacha dalet also liisha losets beged al tzifa v'chenu ish al akoyva shalom page kuf nun ches. A woman is not allowed to wear a tzifa, some type of kerchief upon her head, beged al tzifa, garment on her tzifa upon her kerchief v'chenu ish al akoyva shalom b'mei agashamim. We discussed a rain hat she'ein zed derech malbush. This is not derech malbush v'im kavanos shalom yitzaru oisin agashamim, but the kavan is that it's not you pain, then it is mutter. Okay, let's right away discuss about wearing a carving on your hat. Now first, let's say you have a plastic carving. You don't see this too much anymore. Hasidim see this. Hasidim during the week. During the weekday, they wear this. You have a tightly fitted plastic carving for a hat. You'll see Hasidim wearing this during the week. Are you allowed to wear this on Shabbos? Rabbi Riviat says it's a big machlokes sapoiskim. Shockingly, there are places that say that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? It's tuffle to the hat. Since it tightly fits the hat, it's a perfectly shaped for the hat, it becomes part of the hat, it protects the hat, so it's part of the hat. The same way you're allowed to wear the hat, you're allowed to wear the plastic, it's a chelik of the hat. It's an extension of that. This he presents, I can't remember all the names, all the footnotes, but he presents this to be a valid opinion. However, among us, when you see among us, Rav Moshe was against this. Rav Moshe held that the plastic itself, without the hat, is worthless. Take the plastic off the hat and try to put it on your head. It's not going to go. Why are you wearing it? I'm only wearing it to protect the hat. I'm not wearing it to protect me. I'm not wearing it. So Rav Moshe holds, I don't know if he holds the Mikar Hadin.
The rain is protecting you too.
No, if it's only shaped for the hat, it's not protecting you, it's protecting the hat. Whatever the hat will do for you, the plastic is not doing anything more for you than the hat is doing for you. I'm going to give you an example where Moshe makes an exception. But generally speaking, Rav Moshe says he disagrees. Now, I don't remember if it's Mikar Hadin he holds it's Chil Shabbos, or he holds the Baal Nefesh Shli Machmir, but it should not be done according to Rav Moshe. What? No, you don't see it here either. In Brooklyn,
people
you don't see it. Moshe says a straw hat is the exception. Because a straw hat, the rain goes right through. You can argue in a pouring rain, a downpour, it goes right through the felt hat also. Maybe you're right. Maybe if it's a very strong downpour, maybe Rav Moshe will be mad. No, you don't see it. But a Rav Moshe says a straw hat where the rain goes right through the hat. And probably they're very good straw hats say they don't go.
No, they go.
They'll go. But
even on a felt hat,
they all go through.
through.
You do, for sure. Felt hat also goes right through. On a strong downpour, on a felt hat, is not worth anything, 100%. But Rav Moshe is a straw where it goes through, so then the plastic is not only protecting the hat, it's also protecting you. Then it is mutter. Then it's mutter. Halach l'maisa, we see in this community, this is a psak that's widely accepted from Rav Moshe. Again, Rav Riviat presents two opinions. Some say it's mutter, some say it's also, but from I've seen growing up here in Brooklyn, I don't know, I can't say elsewhere, this has been well accepted. People do not wear these plastic covers on hats on Shabbos. During the week, they do wear, but not on Shabbos. A plastic bag, l'chol hades, is also. Because a plastic bag is not, even the tzad that's matir, that's saying it's going to be part of the hat, because it tightly fits the hat, it's bottle the hat. A plastic bag is not bottle to your hat. Plastic bag is not shaped to the hat, that certainly is not acceptable according to all the paints. Now, what about wearing, how one of them, the exception is, you're allowed to wear a plastic which goes under your chin. Okay, you're tied. So there, it's not just protecting your hat; it's also protecting your cheeks, also protecting your chin. It's also, that is called a malbush. It's not just serving the hat.
Rain bonnet.
Right. So both women, for sure, women and men also. Women also. What?
These new things are attached to the rain.
Oh, so now you have the Shana coats. Right. So that's a new generation. It's a new generation they have now. Humongous hoods. A guy, you ask a guy, what in the world, you have a hood, you can fit five people. Only Orthodox people.
In the back of a snaps.
And you can fit five people in that hood. Who would have such a massive hood?
Have snaps to adjust.
Yeah, I have. Right, I have the snaps.
You have a shin for a strimel, for a spudik, for a black hat, for a Yankee hat, all the different types of hats. But that for sure is mutter. Why is that mutter? That's part of your garment, part of your coat. Even if you're not wearing it over your hat. In other words, you're going out, it's not raining yet. You go out Shabbos morning, it looks like it's going to rain today. They predict rain. So right now, I don't want to look funny. What? He doesn't let you wear the hood?
It's not the hood. It's the coat. He said it does not. It's not a malbush.
Really?
He's not too keen on it. He says, something has a lining, it's giving you some warmth, something is fine. But
this nylon gives you a lot of warmth.
Okay.
It's hot.
Mach Mios.
That's very hot. That's the
Rav Meir, I have to tell you, I have to confess, when I first saw it years ago, it was disgusting in my eyes. I refused to get it. And then, slowly, I was influenced by my environment. I got it. I bought it. I wore it once. And now I don't leave home without it. The slippery slope. The oif goes into the pach. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what happens. But okay, listen. The oilam, the b'nei, this is the way it is. I'm telling you a fact. You go into a shul, any shul, when it's raining outside, it's a very big problem. Is they're all identical. Right. That's the problem. So it's pikuach nefesh not to write your name. If you don't write your name in your shena coat, then it's $30 down the drain. What?
People put a piece of tape.
People do all different strange things for simonim, reflectors. Some of them, there are many brands. There are many brands. Big business. Big business. Everyone is trying to have an advantage. Mine has a reflector. Mine doesn't have. Mine has a symbol. Mine has this. Mine has that. And it's a little nicer, a little thicker, a little heavier. Can adjust a little bit more. Everyone's in the business trying to have an advantage over their competitor. Okay, but listen, it's wildly exciting. I have Shachter is my cousin, Mishpacha. I'm not gonna. I have the greatest respect. He was like, I understand, because he's saying it's not a levush. It's not providing you with any benefit. It's not really any benefit. Okay, but the fact that people wear it obviously is the benefit. It's preventing you from getting wet. It's preventing you from getting wet, even though they leak. They leak. They go right through.
Yes.
They go on a very heavy downpour.
Yes.
It goes right through. So, it depends on the brand you have. I don't know which brand. I'm probably there are different types. But the one that I have, it's good for a light rain. But a heavy rain, drenched, goes right through, leaks right through. I don't know what the purpose is, but yeah, it's not a joke. That's right. There's somebody that done it. Okay, but but whatever the situation is, that appears. Now again, the also very important halacha they discussed this is that the, let's say the hood is humongous, the hood is massive, and the, let's say you're not using the hood. So why is it that not considered to be a masay, a burden? It should be, if you're putting the hood on top of your hat, okay. So it's protecting the side, you need a very big hood to protect the side of your face, it's part of the hood. But if I'm not wearing the hood and it's draping down, why should I be allowed to wear it? The person can say it's mutter. It's part of the coat. It's not independent. Exactly. Any coat that has a permanently attached hood, even not permanently, if it's zipped, if the hood is zipped, it's mutter. Another example, a more extreme example, a belt. So the chatchil, the belt should be sewn in, but even if the belt is not sewn, the belt is just hanging and dangling in the loops, and you don't close it. You're allowed, shockingly, you're allowed to walk out into the street with a raincoat, with a belt that's hanging down, even if the belt is not sewn into the loops. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly, because the belt is part of the coat. It's part of the coat. It's mutter. Now, by the way, you're not allowed to wear a belt. If you're wearing a regular belt, and it's a regular belt that you wear on your pants, and it's not closed, that's awesome. That he says you're not, because the only reason why you wear a belt, it's not part of your pants. A belt is something you put on your body in order to hold up your pants. And if the belt is not functional, which happens sometimes, it's very interesting. The belt breaks. It's not, so you don't want to go to shul. I look embarrassed to go wear a pants without a belt. By the way, today the style is, ask all the high school kids, they will tell you today that is a new style today not to wear belts. Go look at a high school kid. What? This is at the moment. I'll discuss that. A new social trend. Wearing feathers. Feathers are back in style. And no belts. Strange. I don't know, girls. I don't know. What? Tight. Everything is very tight today. All the clothing, all the men's clothing is very... No, not back in trend. Suspenders.
You have suspenders and a belt, and the belt's not...
Oh, you're not allowed. Suspenders and belts are problematic unless you really need it. If you don't really need it, you're not allowed to wear both. It's a masai. A belt, for whatever reason, I don't know why, a belt, for whatever reason, I would think that a belt is a style.
Yes, a decoration.
I know that I had a belt, my belt snapped. I was embarrassed. I felt embarrassed to go to shul, go in the street without a belt. So the belt won't be tight. I'll just close the belt in a way. And so that's what I thought. But he writes a review and says, no, that's not Allah halach. Allah halach is the belt is not functional. You can't wear the belt.
Can you wear a belt? The pants are tight.
So it's always providing, it doesn't matter. In fact, even if the pants are tight, the belt is still giving you additional assistance. You're going to tell me that it's doing absolutely nothing, maybe you're right. But even if you have tight pants, the belt still gives you some stability.
During the week, the belt serves as a function. You can clip things on it and stuff like that. Shabbos doesn't come into play, though.
I don't know. Okay, again, personally, I felt embarrassed not to wear a belt, and I was willing to wear the belt without it doing anything for me. Just, you know, to tug it in. That it should stand there. No, but that's what I thought. But he seems to say not. He seems to say that the belt on a pair of pants is much worse than the belt of a raincoat. The belt of a raincoat is a chilek of the raincoat. The belt of a pair of pants is only serving to keep your pants up. And if it's not doing that, it's a masa, you know, to wear it on Shabbos. Chiddush. Okay, some mentioned the gartel. Big machlekes. If you're allowed to wear a gartel, according to many poskim, why? Because your pants are already being held up. What is the gartel doing for you? What is it doing for you, the gartel? It's good for shidduchim. A certain type of shidduch. A hamish shidduch. Yeah. Yes, that's what Moshe says. Moshe Litvak held that a gartel is not a malbush.
Really?
And a nela, if you wear.
My Kendall said it gives a lot of confusion. They wear it so tight that it gives them gangrene.
Okay, la halacha. If the bell gartel, according to Rav Rivia, presents both opinions. He presents a whole list of poskim that say that a gartel, being that it's used for davening, it's a malbush for davening. automatically that gives it the status of a malbush. And even if it's not doing you anything, it's not keeping your pants up, because you have a belt, I have suspenders, I have a belt, and I'm wearing it, even I'm wearing it in any way, on top of your jacket, underneath your jacket, on top of your shirt, whatever it is, automatically it's choshev in its own right, and you can always wear a garotel in the street on Shabbos. Rav Moshe disagrees. The fact that you use it for davening is insignificant, that does not make it into a malbush, it's a masli. The only time the garotel can be worn is that it's actually doing something for you. Therefore, he says, if you wear the garotel underneath your jacket and you are already wearing a belt, it's doing absolutely nothing. And therefore, you're not allowed to wear a garotel on Shabbos underneath your jacket. But Rav Moshe says, if you're wearing it on top of your jacket, so then it is doing something. It's keeping your jacket in place. It's keeping you firm and tight. Or the talus. Then it is. So, but underneath a garotel, underneath your jacket, according to Rav Moshe, is usur. That's a very, you know, for Hasidim to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They're very upset by hearing that, because they hold that a garotel is Manish, a malbush, a real malbush. It's a very controversial psak halacha. But even Moshe's mask on top of the garment is mutter. Okay, now okay, I don't know. He talks about women. You can't really be a lie with the women. Is, what? Of course, it's the ultimate beged. The talus you're allowed to wear a halacha. I'm not talking about hashkafa. La halacha, you can wear a talus. You can wear a talus on Shabbos, even at night. At night, why? At night, you're not supposed to put on a talus at night. You can't make a brach. I know. You don't see her. You ask your question. You want to bring your talus home at night. So you want to put it on and wear it in the street. And you ever saw someone do that? To wear the talus at night?
Sure.
To wear it at night?
Uh-huh.
In order to carry it home?
And they use it. Came home, it was darker.
And they use it over the hat too. They can wear it.
Okay, wearing a talus, l'chor, is the ultimate garment.
When you
talus.
Okay.
With the kittle on.
Yes, a talus is always. A talus, by definition, is always called a garment. Garment. A talus is the ultimate garment. It is the ultimate garment, a talus. So a talus.
I remember at a certain point in yeshiva that they were makbid, they told everybody that you had to wear tzitzis. I mean, you beg it, talus kotten. You beg it, had to be a shear.
Otherwise,
the tzitzis are carrying.
That's the Salavatics. The Salavatics do not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Talis Katan. Salavatics, any Salavatic. Go ask any Salavatic. They do not wear Talis Katan on Shabbos. So I've heard different reasons. One reason is because I heard from my cousin. I have a cousin, Rabbi Meir, or Dr. Meir Salavatic, the Rav of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue. Feel him on Shabbos. He's not wearing a talus cotton on Shabbos. Why? So he claims because the Rambam has a suffix that the machlokes if the lavan, the techeles is ma'akev the lavan, that the tzitzis are only kosher tzitz if you have techeles. So being that bezman hazeh we don't have techeles. Now I know you'll tell me that we do have techeles, the murex. But even the people that are intellectually honest will tell you that when they wear the murex, it's not because it's vadai techeles, it's suffik techeles. So why not? Why? What's so terrible? They like the briskers in Eretz Yisrael. They're the mesora. They don't wear the techeles altogether. They don't wear techeles altogether. The salavachiks. So since we don't have tcheles bezman hazeh, and the Rambam holds that the tcheles is ma'akev, is a machlokes, if the tcheles is ma'akev the lavan is ma'akev the tcheles, so b'meila, you don't, it's carrying. It could be that the tzitzis, the fringes you're wearing on the corner of your garment, is not serving a mitzvah purpose. It's not serving a mitzvah purpose, so it's carrying. So it's one thing during, so you ask me a kasha during the week, so what's the obvious question? So during the week, you shouldn't wear a talus, because wearing a rig, it means you're wearing a garment of four corners, or without tzitzis, you're being over on a loisase, and an asay of gedilim tasid chalabas kanchos, you're not allowed to wear a garment, you're being mevatel and say. So the answer is, there's a big difference between being mevatel and mitzaseh and being mechal Shabbos. Being mevatel and mitzaseh, we can be samech halacha, the tcheles does not, we don't need the tcheles in order to make the tzitzis kosher. So you can wear tzitzis. But to go so far and say that it's not makkah, that you're allowed to go walk in the street and you're not being mechal Shabbos by carrying strings on your garment, that far they do not want to go, and therefore the Salavatics do not wear tzitzis. It's similar to Rav Chaim. the story of Rav Chaim. I once told you the story. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik did chesed in extreme ways. It's absurd types of chesed. People will come to his house. Anyone who wanted to borrow a sefer can borrow a sefer. So word in those days, not everyone, it was like today where everyone has a printing press at home. People, it was weird to find, so people came, they borrowed his svarim. They borrowed his svarim, where a guy says, Rebbe, you have an empty bookcase. What do you need the bookcase for? Let me have the bookcase. So he said, you're right. Take the bookcase. You can have the bookcase also. Absurd. Someone then once said to him, Rebbe, why when you walk into his house, every dalet amos was taken up by a homeless person. Every this dalet amos for this beggar, and it was a place for the homeless. His house. So someone said to him, why do you need a door? The door is always open. People are coming in. Maybe I can take the door. So he said, you know, you're right. I would give you the door. The only reason why I'm not letting you have this is because the Rambam holds you only can put up a mezuzah if you have a door. We don't pass him like that. We pass him that if you have an archway, you also... But the Rambam holds you need a door. Like, you know, the Erev, you need the lasso, you need a door. So I want to be in the midst of mezuzah with the Rambam. And the briskos, they're into the Rambam. The Rambam, you need a door, so I can't give away my door. Even though the door is always open, I'm not going to give away the door. So the briskos, they hold the tchelis, my the love him, so therefore you don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos.
Did the Rambam
what?
On Shabbos? Was you right about not wearing tzitzis on Shabbos?
The Rambam, I don't know. I really have no idea. Good point. What did the Rambam do? Yeah. You can't be more religious than the Rambam. Whoa. Loaded question, huh? Is the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik the one now is Rav Yosh? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the grandfather of the Rav. Father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe was the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And I'm talking about the grandfather of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik from Boston. So his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Soloveitchik, they don't wear a talisman. That's what I heard from him. I heard him say this. But I've also heard before I heard him say this, I was always under the assumption the reason what.
Of Aaron Soloveitchik,
Chicago. That's Meir Yaakov, Dr. Meir Yaakov's grandfather. That's his grandfather. You're not carrying the big talis, he's on shul. You're putting it on in shul. What? Yeah, right, you can't, exactly.
But they do?
You can't walk in the street with a talis gadol.
What are you, Aiva?
Nothing. That's the chash, chil Shabbos, chatos. If you hold the street as a rishon on their eyes, yeah, or even a karmelis chaytzah.
If you will, wear the blanket.
Mevatel a mitzvah saseh.
No, you walk on Shabbos with a blanket, wrap the blanket.
On a four-corner blanket? On a four-corner blanket? During the day? You mevatel a mitzvah saseh.
You mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Just like in the week.
Right.
But you're not airbrushing?
No, but the strings, if the strings are not accomplishing, so the strings that are dangling, not the beged. The beged is not...
Yeah. I understand, but why
the strings are chil Shabbos?
Worse than just like a decorative.
The strings are not considered to be a decoration. No, I'm sorry, you don't say that. It's considered to be a masoy. That's what they say. I was always under the impression before I heard him say this because of the Rambam and the Tchelis and Lavan, it's because the Chashash that it's possible. Every so often it happens that so there's no halacha you have to wear a dalet four corners. You're wearing a talis and shul. It's good enough if you happen to you don't have to wear it every single second. According to, so it's better not to take the risk of chil Shabbos. The very nervous people not to take the risk of chil Shabbos, not to wear a talis cutted on Shabbos. That's what I remember hearing as a child. But I heard him say this shir. He says, that's not the reason. The reason is because of the Rambam, of the love and the tremas. Okay, going back to some other stuff, clothing. What about walking in the another interesting shayla? What?
Wear it all from shul or not?
Yes, 100%. absolutely 100% al-pi halacha, it's mutter. There's something that you're familiar with. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky made a big macha, and a lot of people quote him, is he held that in galus, it's not proper to display your religion in public. Don't flaunt your religious and wearing a talis in the street is not, he felt, is not proper. It's not proper. Now, he was from a different generation. Okay, he came from a different generation, and he saw a lot of tsaros in his life. He saw, and he came to America, and it was a different America 30 years ago, and he grew up differently. He had different 60 years ago when he was nifter. He was nifter about 27 years ago. Practically 27 years ago, he was nifter. So when would he say the same thing today in the 21st century? The goyim are different. People that are brought up today, obviously, most people. Exactly, it's a whole different world today. And the younger generation, they don't have that sensitivity. They don't have that sensitivity, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. It's a different society today. And you don't see, you walk on Avenue J, you walk in the street on Shabbos, more often than not, you'll be seeing on nice weather, you'll be seeing good people wearing a talis in the street today on Shabbos. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would never have done this. What would he say today? Maybe today he would not object to the degree that he objected years ago. Some people are still very sad. I know the old timers. I know someone. He's very, very into this. Never wearing a talis. He's very, always, he used to tell this to me. It bothers him very, very much. This man must be close to 80 years old now. And it bothers him very, very much. I'm sure all his children do. I have no doubt that his children, when they come to visit him for Shabbos, they're all wearing their talis, so go back and forth to shul. But it bothers him very, very much.
You wear it on your
Yes, absolutely, 100%. But you're getting into, you have to be very careful with making a bracha. Because if you come home, you know, let's say you go to a kiddush, or let's say you go eat a meal by your children, or you go meet by a friend, and you want to take off your talis, and you take off your talis. So before you go home, you got to make another bracha. You got to make another bracha before you, when you put on the talis another time, you have to make another bracha.
You have
a mind, but it's a very big hefsek. All having a mind is only when you go to the Beis HaKiseh for a short period of time. You're not mesiach das. You're not mesiach. Oh, that's another shot. Even that's not so simple. The taliskan is not going to be that. The taliskan getting to the show. If your talis falls off, the goal is to go minyan. Let's say your talis falls off by accident. Me'ikar hadin. You're mechuyev to make a new bracha. If you're simchas Torah, and your talis falls off, all of a sudden you're not coughing and it's on the floor. You're not even holding on to nothing. Me'ikar hadin, you're mechuyev to make another bracha. If you go to the Beis HaKiseh and you take it off with the kavan to put it back on, you don't make another bracha. Halacha l'maisa, do people make another bracha when the talis gadol falls off by accident? So many say no, for one very simple reason, and this is a nafkamina, because you're wearing a talis katan. Unless you're a star, that's right, and that's a very big nafkamina. Halacha l'maisa, when a person wearing a talis and it falls off, if you are wearing a talis, this that it says in Shulchan Aruch, you must make another bracha. We assume the case of Shulchan Aruch is going when you're not wearing a talis katan. But since bizman hazeh, but most people are wearing a talis katan, so we are so much on the opinion that since I'm wearing a talis katan, the talis katan saves me from losing the mitzvah. So there's no hefsek. There's no hefsek when I can later put the talis katan on without making a bracha. But in a chanam, if you're not wearing a talis katan, there are people that don't wear a talis katan for whatever reason, okay, it bothers them, it itches them, this and that, all the different reasons why, then really you have to make a bracha. If you're wearing a talis katan and the talis katan falls off and it completely, it's not, it even remains upon your body, even partially, even a small amount, then you don't make another bracha. But if it completely falls off on the floor and you're not wearing a talis katan, you're mechuyev to make another bracha when you put the talis katan back on. If you go to a meal and you take off your talis katan and then you want to wear you're in a place where there is no eruv and you want to wear your talis katan back home, you have to make another bracha when you put on the talis katan, even if you're wearing a talis katan, because you miss this case, you mamish mesiach das. Some hold, like I told you, it's not so simple because you're wearing a talis katan and you're making another bracha. For what purpose? So some say it's not a good idea. This whole idea of taking your talis off and then putting it on after a meal just to wear your talis back home is not a nice thing to do. It's not an ideal thing to do, and you should not put yourself No, that's certainly not a solution.
A kiddush with a talasan.
A kiddush.
You want right. A kiddush with your.
So a kiddush is a 5-minute thing, in and out. You wait and you say mass and you're going in and out. But you're going to eat a meal by someone, by your friend, and then you take off your talis, then you want to go home, you put the talis back on. So if you have no choice, you do make a bracha. You definitely make a bracha. That's called a significant hesach hadas. But it's not obviously an ideal thing to do, to make brachas when you're not really putting on the talis.
If you're wearing your talis to shul in the morning, you got to make something about tzitzis before you. When you're putting your talis on under your coat or on top of your coat, you have to make the bracha at home.
If you're wearing the talis to go to shul, so you make the bracha when you put the talis on for the very first time. We're out of time. Let me just say one other quick thing relating to garments. Wearing a shirt, this is very interesting. Wearing a shirt with your sleeves rolled up. It's a hot summer day, and you have a long sleeve shirt, and you're sweating. So you roll up your shirt, you roll up your sleeves, and you go out into the shirt. Are you allowed to do that? So I have thought. Of course, you can do it. It's part of your shirt. So Rav Riviat says, not so fast. Not so fast. Machlokes hapoiskim. Since, this is what he says. This is what he says. This is a very chiddush. This is what he writes. I'm just telling what he writes. I'm not telling my chiddush. He writes like this. Ask yourself at this moment in time, are you the type of person that at this moment in time would have preferred to be wearing a short sleeve shirt? Are you that type of person? There are people that wear all the time long sleeve shirts. That's just the way Hashem made them. That's how they're wired. They like to wear, like yeshivish people, that's just how they're wired. They wear long sleeve shirts, no matter what. On a day when it's 100 degrees, I feel naked if I'm wearing a short. I just don't wear short sleeve shirts. I wear long sleeve shirts. It's hot, so I roll up my sleeves. I take off my jacket. I wear a light talis scarf and I roll up my sleeves. But I have to wear a long sleeve shirt. If you are the type of person that only wears long sleeve shirts, even on a very hot day, and now you're rolling it up, it's mutter. You can walk out into the street wearing your shirt rolled up. We do not consider the excess, this that is bunched up on your biceps, to be carrying. That's my shirt. This is my shirt.
Like the hood that you're not
exactly
wearing.
Like the hood you're not wearing. But this is what he writes. I'm not making this up. It's chiddush. But if your type of person has in your wardrobe, you have at home a whole wardrobe. You have 50 shirts, all different colors, sizes, and shapes, all different occasions, and you like to wear short sleeve shirts, and you have in your closet. Today is bad luck. You by mistake put on a long sleeve shirt, and now you're caught in a situation where it's very hot, and you're going for a walk with your family member, and you want to roll up your sleeves, and you're rolling it up all the way, and now we have a significant amount of material. Riviat says, not so simple. There's very strong grounds that this is not considered to be, it's not like the hood. It's not like
Why?
The hood.
But the hood is extra now.
The hood is part of the coat. The hood is made...
That's part of the shirt.
No, it's not. The sleeves are meant to be worn. This is what he says. You're right. Listen, he makes this...
It's like spinning here.
This is what he says.
They are rolled up with a...
All right, this is what he says. This is what he presents.
If you have the belt that's hanging, you will have to...
Yeah. The pocket.
Because
then it's a carrying.
All right.
One other quick thing: rolling up your pants. You're not allowed to do this. If you're going somewhere. I don't know the country. Kids probably do this more than adults. You're going to a place where there's a puddle. It was probably very common in time of Chazal where there's a deep puddle, and you walk in a place where there's a deep puddle, and you don't care about your shoes and your socks that like gets soaked through and through, but you don't want your pants, your Hugo Boss pants, so you roll up your pants. You're not allowed to do that.
Can you pick up your pants?
You can pick it up slightly, he says, but to roll up the pants, to roll them up, to bunch up your pants and walk through water in a place where there is no Erev is Asa. Because that's considered, that material now becomes a Masoi. It's not being worn in the usual way. It's a burden, and it is Asa. This is what he says. Okay, there's a lot more. Belinda, we'll pick this up tomorrow. We'll take a short break.